The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She knows everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, partner, and engineer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. We survived the heat wave yesterday. I hear it got to be 102 degrees in Santa Rosa. That is amazing to me. Well, this morning I have two special guests for this show. Joining me on the phone will be Jody Reed, who's the executive director for the Northern California Organizer for California Alliance for Retired Americans. And in the studio with me is a dear friend, Maddie Hirschfield, who is the political director of the North Bay Labor Council. And we'll be talking about a presentation, celebration, call to action, along with some of the issues and concerns about Medicare, Medi-Cal, and Social Security, and what is happening at the end of the month on July 29th in Santa Rosa to educate all of us folks. A little bit of history. Medicare and Medi-Cal is celebrating their 52nd birthday. And can you believe this, folks? Social Security is celebrating their 82nd birthday. That means that, let's see, if they're 80, I'm 77, so I was about 9 years old when it came into effect. These programs are vital for our communities. We will also be talking about the Healthy California Act, SB 562. So it's just amazing, and I look forward to this show. I'm actually very excited about having these two particular guests. You know, last week on the show, I'm just going through my notes here. Oh, what happened to my notes? Last year on the show, I had a woman by the name of Black Women's United here in Sacramento. I had a woman by the name of, Imani was her name, and we talked about the Imani Mitchell, who is the founder and CEO of Black Women United in Sacramento. We talked about the march last week in Sacramento, and it was called Ain't I a Woman in honor of Sojourner Truth. Unfortunately, Imani could not be with us this morning, but she gave me a report. The march was a huge success. This is amazing. Over 1,200 women showed up, and it was a very, very diverse group supporting one another. She was particularly excited that when she got to the state capitol for the rally, there were several groups that were out there tabling, including Planned Parenthood, Pro-Choice America, ACLU, Casa Sacramento, and several community clinics and shelters supporting her effort. I want to give a special shout-out and congratulations to Imani Mitchell for her vision, and a huge thank you for all of you that showed up. This was really inspiring to me. As women, we must stand together. We must go beyond racism and recognize that our Mother Earth is trying and crying to speak out to us. Our children are crying to speak out to us. And groups like this, Black Women United for Peace and Justice, is very, very important. And it brings to mind that favorite saying by Margaret Mead, never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens, I'm going to add women, can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has. A little history about Margaret Mead. She was an American cultural anthropologist who featured frequently as an author and speaker during the 1960s and 70s. And what they did up in Sacramento is definitely a expression of that, that people getting together can make a big, big difference. So congratulations to Black Women United in Sacramento, and thank you so much for a wonderful interview last week. Well, we have something very interesting happening that's being presented by the Community Action Coalition of Sonoma County on Tuesday, July 18th from 6 to 7:30. They're going to be doing a training on rapid response legal observer training. And what that is all about is that when people are protesting, they have people on the sidelines. They call themselves legal observers to make sure that the protesters are not doing anything illegal and that law enforcement is is not doing anything illegal. So it's very important that people get trained on that. So that's going to be hosted by the Community Action Coalition of Sonoma County. It's going to be at the Peace and Justice Center at 467 Sebastopol Road in Santa Rosa. And I would show up. I mean, I just think it's great, the idea of having training that you can be an observer. And that's going to be from 6 to 7:30. And again, that's going to be this Tuesday, which is tomorrow. My goodness, already July 18th. Where does time go? From 6 to 7:30 p.m. Another wonderful thing that I think is happening, and I'm going to have Raquel Mack on at the end of the month, is a program that she started, and it's about a year or so ago. It's called Saturday Morning Coffee. And what it is she's got women, particularly women of color, families of color, coming together and becoming more aware of what the regulations talk about as far as discrimination in the schools with Title VI. So it's really important that people show up. So this is going to be the Saturday Morning Coffee, and the next one's going to be July 22nd. That's this Saturday. It's from 10 to 12 noon, and it happens at the Arlene Francis Center at 99 6th Street in Santa Rosa, California. I met Raquel Mack when I was sitting on the Human Rights Commission here in Sonoma County, and I was very, very impressed what she was doing around discrimination and some of the hate that goes on in some of the schools. So I really encourage you, show up at the Saturday Morning Coffee, and that's going to be on July 22nd from 10 to 12 noon at the Arlene Francis Center, and support this amazing, amazing program. And like I said, next week I'll have Raquel Mack, the founder of Saturday Morning Coffee, as a guest. I'm excited to have her on, and we're going to be talking about all kinds of things. And rumor has it that Raquel actually attended the Ain't I a Woman March in Sacramento, and I can't wait to hear what she has to say about it. Well, there's lots to think about, folks, and we're going to have a pretty long interview. I'm going to have the whole interview with the two people that I announced at the beginning. I'll announce it one more time. But right now, we're going to take a little bit of a musical break. And the song I'm going to play, I think, is really appropriate for what we're going to be talking about today. It's called Heal the World, sing by Marilike from her album, What a Wonderful World. I felt I needed something to remind me how important it is to take care of one another. Folks, can you imagine? I mean, just think about this. You know, they're playing, I think of it like a ping pong, you know, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And I can't help but think of what Naomi Klein says about the shock doctrine, about this whole healthcare issue. I mean, look how insecure people feel about it. I mean, it is so sad. I mean, it's like a ping pong ball, back and forth. And yet when it comes to war and a war economy, no debate, no discussion, just here's the money, go for it. You know, and so I constantly ask myself, are we a nation of life or are we a nation of death? And I think in the conversation that we're going to have this morning is going to show how important it is to take care of our citizens. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I was thinking the other day, can you imagine if all of a sudden we had a pandemic, you know, like some sort of plague or something, and all of a sudden nobody has health care, so they're all running to the emergency room. I mean, come on. You know, we need health care. We need health care, not insurance care, but health care for our citizens. And I want you to take note of the conversation that you're having and also that we're going to have today. And also, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com and let me know what you think about these conversations. Well, anyway, we're going to take a musical break. We're going to be listening to Heal the World, sung by Maraca from her album, What a Wonderful World. And when I come back, I will be talking with Jody Reed, Executive Director from the Northern California Organization for the California Alliance for Retired Americans. And again, in the studio with me is Maddie Hirschfield, who is the Political Director at the North Bay Council, and we'll be talking about a special presentation, Celebration to Action, along with some of the stuff that's going on in California and in Sacramento. Anyway, here we go. Heal the World. Thank you.
We can heal the world and make it a better place. There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. And this place could be much brighter than tomorrow. And if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you'll feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world, make it a better place. For you and for me and the entire human race. There are people dying. If you care enough for the living, make a better place for you. If you want to know why, there's a love that cannot lie. Love is strong, it only cares for joy, forgiving. If we try, we shall see. In this bliss we cannot feel. Fear or dread, we stop existing and start living. Then it feels that always love's enough for us growing. Make a better It's plain to see this world is heavenly. Be God's love.
Yes, make it a better place for you and for me. Oh, my goodness. I mean, when you start thinking about it, when you really start thinking about what can we do to make this a better place? Well, the first thing we can do is let's find a way to stop all these wars. Anyway, for you just joining me, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM Calistoga and Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, members, and Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my two guests. On the phone with me is Jody Reed, Executive Director of Northern California Alliance for Retired Americans. Welcome, Jody.
Thank you.
Can you come a little bit closer to your phone, my friend?
I think this is as close as I can.
Oh, good. That's great. Great. Okay. And in the studio with me is Maddie Hirschfield, who is the political director of the North Bay Labor Council. Welcome, ladies. Welcome to Women's Spaces. Before I begin, I'd like to tell our listeners a bit about you. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, let's start with you, Jody. Jody Reed is the founding director of CARA, CARA, California Alliance for Retired Americans. That's me. I'm a retired American, and which is one of the California's largest grassroots senior advocacy organization, representing close to 1 million members throughout the state, and will celebrate its 14th anniversary this fall. Jody has over 35 years of organizing experience, starting with the United Farm Workers and working with housing rights organizations, neighborhood organizations, and health justice organizations at a local, statewide, and national levels. She has worked with seniors for most of her organizing career and founded the Senior Action Network in San Francisco, now called Senior Disability Action, as well as Metro Seniors in Action in Chicago. Jody, is there anything else you'd like to add to this impressive resume here?
No, that's good enough.
And I have with me also Maddie Hirschfield, who I've known Maddie for a long time. She has lived and been active in public life in Sonoma County for more than 30 years. Maddie has a long record of involvement in progressive politics at the local level, having served as manager and our consultant to dozens of Sonoma County candidates and ballot measure campaigns to protect the environment, health care services, workers' rights, transportation, and equal rights for all. And, you know, I know Maddie personally, what a hard worker she is. And in 2002, you know, I remember that day, she was voted Sonoma County Democrat of the Year. And she is also former chair of the Sonoma County Democratic Party. Over 12 years, she has served served two state legislators as primary speechwriter and district director. She is currently the political director for the North Bay Labor Council. Welcome, Maddie. Anything else you'd like to add?
That covers it.
Boy, I'll tell you, you know, I have with me two hardworking women, and they're an example. You know, they're an example of how much it takes, you know, how you have to be involved in order to start making some change. Well, let's start with you, Jody. Let's look at CARA a little bit. Talk about CARA, the California Alliance for Retired Americans. As a founder, what motivated you to start the organization, and how many chapters are there actually throughout the state?
In terms of motivation, I have been working on many of the issues that are important to seniors and people with disabilities and their families for years, and some specifically senior rights organizations, others healthcare or housing, but with sort of a lens to how these issues impact seniors. So when there was a conversation about starting a chapter of the National Alliance for Retired Americans in California, which is separately incorporated but part of the national family, if you will, it just made sense for me to do that and sort of take what I had been previously working on at a more countywide level to the statewide level. Just be able to influence state and national policy by bringing sort of the eye and the votes from California to the national arena, as well as focusing on some state issues here specific to California. So we've been building over the last 14 years to become an organization that represents, as you said, close to 1 million people in California, and that's, we get there by being primarily an organization of organizations. So half of our membership is from labor union retiree groups or labor unions themselves, and the other half are from community-based groups, all who wanted to have a special focus on senior issues. So we have about 270 groups now that are affiliated to CARA, and a million members comes from adding up the combined membership of those 270 groups. Right now we have 17 chapters in the state that are people who come from our affiliates who are based in those regions or counties, depending on how the chapter is organized, as well as individuals who might not be in an organization but want to be involved in the issues that we work on. And they meet mostly monthly and come together to look at what we're working on at the state and national level and how we can play a role in influencing that and educating people and educating our public officials about those issues and engaging people locally, but with the goal of all coming together at the state level or at the national level, depending on what we're working on.
Jody, you know, it's amazing that you say you're an organization that's full of organizations. I think that's a great way to describe it. What do you think, what is the main ingredient that keeps everybody working together and cooperating? You know, one of the things that I hear a lot is how groups coming together, what is your secret for keeping it active and keeping it working?
Well, I think one thing is that we are really, really a grassroots organization. So for the entire state of California right now, we have 3 full-time staff, and that's it. Everything else we do is done by people in the community, our grassroots leaders. So people really help us decide on our agenda. We vote on it every year at our conventions. And then they are responsible for implementing it at the local level, and the staff provides resources and support and training so that they can do it. But I think the more, there, somebody once said that people support what they help to create. And so I think that has been for us really the secret, is that we have, you know, most all retirees, but people who have played leadership roles in their own organizations for years, and in many ways are much more experienced than I am on how to bring people together, how to run effective meetings. And even though we're big, I think the chapters help us keep kind of a familial sensibility about us, so that people come together not just to work on these really important issues, but also it's a sense of family and community, and it's hard to find that sometimes these days, especially since so much of the work that we do is online, which is very powerful and important. But for the folks who I work with, they're the meeting going goer tours, and they're used to, they like coming together when they're physically able and healthy enough to be with other people, to be feeling like they're still contributing. And so as much as it's important to work on these very complicated issues, it's also building community. And I think a lot of people are looking for that. And I think that's what makes us different than a lot of other organizations.
Well, ditto to that. And what's so interesting in what you say is that when you retire, I know we all bring a skill level. I mean, myself, I'm a retired executive. So, you know, I've run sales teams as many as 30 people, and I'm sure you have a lot of people out there with that kind of, you know, those kind of skills that can help. Well, talking about issues, what issues are you working on currently, and why are they important? And also, if you could go into a little bit about what's happening, this whole thing with this, I think of it like ping pong, going back and forth with this ACA, the Affordable Care Act. So can you address those issues?
Sure. I think for seniors and people who are on Medicare as their primary source of health care coverage, the conversation around the ACA and its potential repeal and replacement is a little bit different than for the rest of the population, because, first of all, for people who are Medicare eligible, Medicare is the primary insurer. And it used to be, back in the day when it was first voted into law, you know, 52 years ago in July, or July 30th, actually, it was intended to be the only source of coverage, and it paid 80% and people paid 20% of, and it was fee for service. And over the years, as our healthcare system has gotten more complicated, the Medicare program has also gotten more complicated and more privatized. So now you have to buy supplemental insurance.
What makes it, let me ask you a question. What makes it so complicated? I don't understand why you have health care, you submit your doctor's bill to whatever organization is taking care of it, and they pay. Why does it become so complicated?
Well, because when Medicare was first designed and the way it's created, it was meant to cover the way we received health care at that time, which was primarily you go to the doctor, you know, once or twice a year to get seen and make sure everything's healthy, and then you go to the hospital if something goes wrong or to get, you know, a specific procedure. We were not in 1965 as dependent on all of the incredible advances that have been made in pharmaceutical drugs that help people manage chronic illness, et cetera, nor did we have the ability to do so much of our health care as outpatients, you know, and seeing doctors to prevent things or having the services done outside of the hospital setting. And so as that became part of the way healthcare is provided in our world now, at least in our country, Medicare wasn't funded to provide that additional service. So they had to bring in another way for people to get that additional service. And instead of expanding Medicare to cover all those services, they reached out to the private insurance industry to sell products that cover parts or all of the coverage that traditional Medicare didn't usually cover. And for people who are low income, Medicaid, or in California it's called Medi-Cal, would pick up that difference. And so what's happening, your question about what's happening in Washington, is that really the conversation about repealing and replacing the ACA is really, in our opinion, and I think if most people who look at it, it's about money. And I think it's a decision by the leadership right now in Congress that, and this is not new, this is just the new version of this, that the federal government should spend less and play less of a role in health care and push the responsibility further and further, both onto the states and onto individuals to take up the charge, if you will, and reduce our federal budget and our federal responsibility. And so the whole ACA conversation is really about money and the way that, you know, the big chunk that would be taken out of the program and push millions of people off of health coverage, and these are non-Medicare people, so everybody under 65, would be to cut, you know, $1.7 trillion out of the Medicaid and Medicare budget to save the federal government money and then send some additional the rest to the states in some capitated way and say, you figure it out. And if it means you have to cut services, then that's what you have to decide. But let the states figure out how to use less money and determine what services to cover with that less money. And if people want some continued level of service, they're going to have to pay for it themselves because the state is only going to get so much to do with what they had maybe twice as much to do with before. And so it is a huge issue for seniors and people with disability because not only are 1.5 million seniors in California also on Medicaid, but there is a proposal to cut and voucherize Medicare as well and take money out of the trust fund of Medicare to help make this whole transition happen. So we got involved in it because those programs, Medicare and Medicaid, are kind of the core health security programs for seniors and people with disabilities. And without that money, it puts our frailest, oldest people at risk. And these are folks who paid all their working life, just like those of us who are still working are paying, into these programs with the understanding and sort of the agreement or contract that those programs would be there for us.
And well, let's before we get into it even more, because the next question I have is the impact that it's going to have. I want to bring Maddie in and introduce her, and then kind of start both of you talking because I know you have something very special happening at the end of this month. Is that okay?
Sure.
Well, Maddie, come on in. I want you to join the conversation. The North Bay Labor Council, the AFL. CIO, by the way, my father was a union man.
Great.
Mailer's Union number 9 in Los Angeles. I mean, I'm very proud that he was. Is the Central Labor Council representing 30,000 members of the 71 labor unions throughout California. Their mission of the North Bay Labor Council is to improve the lives of working families. Now, you're part of the group, and your role is political director. Can you talk a little bit about that? What role is that that you play, and how does that integrate with what's happening with healthcare today?
Sure. excuse me. It's interesting because I am the Labor Council's very first political director, so the position is kind of still evolving.
Well, that's kind of your MA, I think.
That's
you're always in there starting new things. It's wonderful.
That's how it came about. It's been a little over a year that I've been there, and I'm still doing things and thinking, oh yeah, that's important. That's what I do. So as the political director, I'm all things political, and of course all politics is local. So we're working really hard. We look at all the races that are happening locally and statewide, I send out questionnaires to all the candidates, and we have interviews, we make endorsements, we make donations. If we get behind somebody, we really get behind them. We'll put people in the field for a candidate or an initiative. And So going back, I started this job on May 16th, 2016, like 3 weeks before the election, the primary election, which was nuts. but, I kind of got thrown in the middle, and I've been thrown in worse. But so, I just started paddling and working on the elections and the candidates that we had endorsed, and made it through the primary, made it through the general. Now I have a little time to kind of settle and do a few more things and feel around on what's important, work on issues. I'm track bills that are going through the legislature that are that affect labor and workers and working families. Jody and I got together because of the fear of what's going on with these programs, Medicaid, Medi-Cal, and
Social
Security.
Well, talk a little bit about how is the union going to be affected by that? I mean, what is going on that made you get involved with this?
Well, I mean, if you go back to health care, the reason that we have the benefits that we have today is because of the labor movement. I often hear... Go ahead, were you going to...
No, I was going to say people forget that. I mean, I remember my father telling me very, very loudly, if it wasn't for the union, you would not have an eight-hour day.
Exactly. And that's... when you look at that, and people take it for granted, but, when people say to me, well, gosh, I've never belonged to a union, and I'm fine. I've never had any problems. Really? Is that so? Well, how do you like your weekend? How do you like your benefits? How do you like your vacations? It's all because of the labor movement. So we're very vested in workers being treated well, being respected at the workplace, having the benefits that they need to take care of themselves and their families, that kind of thing. So all of these things affect working people. And as Jody mentioned, these programs that we're concerned about now, we've all paid into them all of our lives. They're not entitlements. They're not something...
I got to say something here. I hate that word entitlement. Mm-hmm. Because they put a negative connotation on it, and the reality is we are entitled to it because we put our money into it.
Exactly.
So why has entitlement all of a sudden become this bad word?
Because and Jody, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there's an attempt to make it feel like this is some kind of gift from the government when it's our money, when we've paid in. It's our money. And this workshop that Jody and I are doing at the end of the month, I think, is very important, and I've been trying to put it out there and say to people, don't make the mistake of thinking this is just for seniors. You want these programs there when you need them.
But also you want, younger people. I mean, I know for myself, I'm retired, and I went to work, believe it or not, at 14 years old. And when you look at my Social Security thing, mm-hmm. From 14 years old, I've been put. They give you a whole list of how much money you put in, and I started at 14, which is amazing to me. Did you want to add anything to that, Jody?
Well, just that I feel like, as Maddie said, this is not a senior issue, although people who are receiving the benefits now will be immediately impacted by these changes. But like you said, we pay into them our whole lives. But Social Security in particular is not just a program for seniors. It helps spouses if a spouse dies and their dependents. Many, including members of my own family, had a parent die young, and without Social Security their family would not have been able to survive. And she actually one of my cousins went to college with the assistance of Social Security. That part of the program has changed. But these are family programs, Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. They help the whole family. If your parents aren't able to live independently with health security and retirement security, the burden is on often the rest of the family to try and help them figure that out. And in this day and age, with how expensive it is for people to live, especially in the Bay Area and California in general, and how hard it is to save money because the cost of living is so high, families are struggling to help one another figure out how to keep it all together. And because we've all paid into Medicare and Social Security, we want to we believe we have an agreement with our government that they're going to make do on the promises that we made when we started paying into those programs. And they are strong. Medicare is the best-run, most efficient health care program in the world, serving the hardest, sickest population. And Social Security is a very robust program as well and can be made even more robust with a few tweaks. And so young people need to be part of this conversation, not just for their future retirement, but also for the families that are part of their, you know, their network that
right.
they want to support.
Exactly. They're going to be responsible for their parents. You know, we're going to take a musical break right now. And when I come back, I have a question I didn't include, but all of a sudden as we're talking, why do you think it is that it's so simple? Like, we have something like a $680 million or something, some a huge amount of money that's going into the war. Why is it so easy to pass a war budget, but yet when it comes to health care, it's so difficult. So just think on that for a moment. And we're going to take a musical break. And the song I'm going to be playing is I Ain't Afraid by Betsy Rose and the Women's Choir. And I think this is really important. This is a real interesting song because oftentimes, you know, we want to speak out as women. We want to take charge, but we become frightened. And there's a lot of religion hullabaloo going on these days too. And I think that this song really addresses at least some of the feelings that I have. When I return, I will be continuing my conversation with Jody Reed, the Executive Director for the Northern California Alliance for Retired Americans. And in the studio with me is Mandy Hirschfield, who is the Political Director at the North Bay Labor Council. And we'll be continuing to talk about health care and a program that they're going to be presenting at the end of the month on July 29th called Celebration Call to Action, along with some of the issues and concerns about Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security that is happening. So let's go ahead and listening to I Ain't Afraid, and we will be back after that.
I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your churches. I ain't afraid of your temples. I ain't afraid of your praying. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up to your higher power. Free up from the fear it will devour you. Watch out for the ego of the hour. The ones who say they know it are the ones who will impose it on you. I ain't afraid of your Bible. I ain't afraid of your Torah. I ain't afraid of your Koran. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I ain't afraid of your music. I ain't afraid of your dancing. I ain't afraid of your stories. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. Rise up and see a higher story. Free up from the gods of war and glory. Watch out for the threats of purgatory. The spirit of the wind won't make a killing of the sin and Satan. I ain't afraid of your Yahweh. I ain't afraid of your Allah. I ain't afraid of your Jesus. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God. I'm afraid of what you do in the name of your God.
Boy, if that doesn't say a lot from what I've been listening to. Especially, it's so interesting. The other day I saw on Facebook, and I don't know if it's fake news or what, you know, but what our vice president said, that we need more Jesus in our life. And I thought that was kind of interesting. Well, if we need more Jesus in our life, I'd like to remind him of what Jesus said, and that was, what you do to the least of them, you do to me. So it's important that we start looking at health care, Social Security, and make sure that this stays with us. because it's an important program, folks. Anyway, welcome back. You are listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And we're going to continue our conversation with Jody Reed and Maddie Hirschfield. Well, welcome back again, ladies. And I asked the question to kind of, let's start with you, Maddie. Why do you think it's so simple to pass a war budget than it is a health care budget? What's your thought?
I don't know that anything is simple at that level, but what comes to mind is that war is just so dramatic, and fear really does rule a lot of the decisions that are made, and you can muster a lot more fear around a war and terrorism and that kind of thing than healthcare. It just doesn't have the same kind of punch. It's not, it doesn't grab you the same way. So I think a lot of legislators that vote that way are, looking for a way to frame themselves, I think.
It's kind of interesting. What do you think, Jody? Do you have any opinion on that?
Well, I don't know that it's easy to do it, but one of the things that has happened over the last decade or more is that some of the wars that we've gotten ourselves engaged in actually were not part of the budget when a budget was passed, but once we sort of got ourselves in there, we were able we paid it forward, and so a lot of the deficit that gets talked about that many members of Congress want to reduce has to do with unfunded decisions that were made, based on timing. And I'm not arguing necessarily about all those decisions, although some of them I certainly didn't support. But more than that, the money wasn't necessarily there to fund some of those wars. But once we found ourselves in them, we borrowed the money to be able to do it, and now we're trying to reduce the federal deficit and the federal budget, taking money out of other programs that we actually did make a decision to fund in the budget. And so I feel like, people need to hold our elected officials accountable. If we're going to fund unfunded wars initially, then that doesn't give us permission to then reduce other programs domestically that we depend on. We need to figure out how to pay for that. And the deficit isn't just because, we spend a lot of money on health care or education or whatever. It's, we bailed out Wall Street during the recession, and we paid for a bunch of wars that were not part of the plan. And I don't know that war is ever part of a plan. But we shouldn't be punishing the people who live in this country who've paid into and depend on services because of our national security. We need to then figure out how we add that to the things we need to do.
I'm going to break it down simply just to make sure I understand you. That's a very interesting point you put out. So in other words, the Congress or the Senate, they pass a budget, they have certain things that they outline, and then all of a sudden they decide they want to do something else, and so they decide to fund, and then it has nothing to do with the plan. So actually what you're saying is they have to stick with the plan, and if they want to do the next, they should figure it out next year, but at least keep to the goals that they set.
Well, we shouldn't undermine existing commitments when we take on new, unplanned for wars or other activities. Then we have an obligation to figure out, yes, we might need to do them, but how are we going to pay for them? And not by robbing programs that are also needed.
Well, here's the next point. The Republican Congress, they keep talking about Social Security going broke. And those changes need to be made to keep it strong and reduce its impact on the federal deficit. That's exactly what you're saying. Is it true that Social Security is running out of money? And if so, what can be done? Is that a true statement?
Are you asking? Who are you asking?
I'm asking you, Jody.
Oh, okay.
I'm sorry.
Yes, it's that is what is being talked about, and no, it is not a true statement. Social Security isn't held. All the dollars that we pay in and our employers pay in when we're working is actually held in a separate Social Security trust that is not part of the federal budget. So when, for example, they talk about deficits and we need to reduce the deficit, and so we need to look at ways to not only supposedly protect Social Security but reduce its impact on the budget and the deficit. That's a complete lie, because not a penny of the dollars we put in are part of the federal budget. So that's not creating the deficit. And yes, you know, people are, the good news is people are living longer thanks to, you know, advances in medicine and people eating better and exercising more, all of those things. And so when Social Security was first designed, and even though we've made little tweaks in the system over time to deal with demographic changes, the life expectancy was different. And so now people are getting their benefit longer. That's not a bad thing. So estimates show that sometime in the 2030s, we may hit a point where we either have to make another tweak in the system, and without it, you know, people, we might not have enough money to cover full benefits. But the way to get out of that problem isn't to cut how much money we give people or do what many in Congress, especially in the Republican Party, have been promoting for years. This is also not new, is to give people less, but give it to them as an individual, you know, lump sum, and let folks invest it privately in the stock market with their individual stockbroker, so that, you know, we could all make $1 million on the stock market. But that is so insecure. And if we did, had done that prior to 2008, people would have gone bust and would have nothing to depend on after all those years of working.
So they're going to turn us into gamblers.
Well, so the one thing that we can do that we've been trying to promote, there's been legislation after legislation introduced in Congress over years to try and do this, is to do what is called scrapping the cap. So right now, if you make over $127,000 a year, which to many of us seems like a fortune, but in California, that's not an unusual salary, and in fact, people make lots more than that, especially in the dot-com world. But once you hit that amount, you stop paying taxes on anything you earn beyond $127,000. So people who make minimum wage, you know, and that's it, they pay taxes on the wage, on every penny of wages they earn. But people who make more money get to stop paying after $127,000. It seems completely ridiculous and unfair. And if we just change that one aspect of the law, Social Security would be flush for generations. That's all we would have to do. We lose billions and billions of dollars every year for people who aren't paying taxes on the wages that they earn. And we're not talking about taxes on capital gains or real estate investment or any other sources of income. It's just taxes on, you know, earned income through wages. So that is a proposal we've been supporting for a very long time, and there actually is currently legislation that's been drafted in Congress, but the Republican leadership does not want to have that heard, so it's sitting on the bottom of a pile of bills collecting dust. And it's just that simple. That's all we would need to do to solve the solvency problem of Social Security, you know, as we move into the 30s and 40s of this century.
Well, you know, there's so much to talk about this, and I'm looking at the clock, and I can't believe how time just runs away with us in the studio. So what I want to talk a little bit about is, and both of you, let's start with you, Maddie, give you a chance to kind of hone in on this. There are several organizations working on a Medicare for All type system in California. How do you think that's going to fly, and what is some of the resistance to that? I mean, I was kind of shocked. I thought they were going to go in for a vote, then all of a sudden it was stopped. So what's your thought on that? I mean, that is that going to enhance? And another thing that I think is interesting, too, is when they give you the scare, you know, they're going to raise your taxes. And one of the suggestions that I want to make to people when they start talking about California and California's health care, and they do talk about raising your taxes, you have to look at how much money you're paying for medical versus the amount of money that's going to be raised in your taxes. And from what I figure out, when I'm listening to people paying like something like $30,000 a year for health care, I know that's not going to be a raise in taxes of $30,000. So why don't you talk a little bit about that, about what California is trying to do? Go ahead, yeah. Start with you, Maddie.
California's been trying for a long time to get a single-payer healthcare bill. Back when Senator Sheila Kuehl was in the legislature, she put forward legislation, and it passed. I believe it was vetoed by Schwarzenegger, I think, at the time. Anyway, so this new bill feels a little more secure in that I think people are realizing now, federally, we're really in trouble, and we need to do something here in California to protect ourselves. You probably heard that Speaker Rendon pulled it in the last week or so.
Right.
And having worked for the legislature and working for legislators, I understand there's a lot of machinations that go on behind the scenes. And you see this thing gets pulled and everybody gets angry because, you know, we need to vote on it. From what I understand, he felt that it, quote unquote, wasn't ready for prime time and was going to lose if we kept putting it through at this point. So I think it's now a 2-year bill. It'll come back next year, and they'll vote on it. I think it's got a really good chance of making it through and being signed, if we make sure that we dot all the I's and cross all the T's and make sure we've got everybody on board. It's essential that we do that because of the national picture and what we've been talking about. So here in California, we could really make a huge difference if we pass this single-payer bill this time.
Well, I just want to make a recommendation to my listeners is that when these bills and this stuff come up, you've got to educate yourself. You can't just listen to the PR. You can't just listen to the buzzwords, you know. I mean, it's kind of interesting. Do you want to say anything about that, Jody?
I agree with everything Maddie said, and I think you're absolutely right. We really need to understand it because there's a ton of money that is going into trying to stop us from doing single payer, which basically means we eliminate the insurance companies. Instead of having hundreds of payers, we have one payer. That's what single payer means, and that payer is the state of California. And by doing that, we eliminate the 15 to 30 cents on every dollar that gets spent that is needed out of our healthcare dollars to keep the insurance companies functioning, their administrative costs, their advertising costs, and of course their profits. But they don't want to be pushed out of this part of their business. There's a lot of insurance products. This is the healthcare part of their products. And so they're spending an enormous amount of money to confuse people and to discourage this from happening. And so we really, really owe it to ourselves to understand what this means, what it would mean to us, and not buy into kind of the millions that are going to try and convince us that this is not a good thing.
Well, when we're ready, I want to have both of you back on again to discuss this. It's just wonderful, but we're almost coming to the end of time, and I want to talk about what's happening on July 29th at the Plumbers Hall at 3473 Santa Rosa Avenue at 2 p.m. They're going to be having a town hall. So why don't you start, Maddie? What is this town hall all about, and who is invited?
Everybody. We invited all, of course, all of our labor people, but all our community partners as well. This is open to the public. It's open to the community. We want people to know what's happening with these programs, what they can do to help save them. This is really Jody's area, so I'm kind of just tagging along, but I'm totally thrilled to be part of this. And we've been advertising it and getting a little bit of response, but we're really hoping we're going to fill that room because it's very, very important to everybody.
Well, you know, one of the things about grassroots organizing, anybody listening to this program, just tell five people and mm-hmm. just ask them to tell five people. Do you want to weigh in on it? What do you think? Why is this important, Jody? Why is this important that people get involved and come on down and listen to this?
Well, first of all, because if all you did was watch the news or watch or listen to some of the mainstream media, your head would be spinning because every day it's something different, some new version of the repeal, some new version of this. And so it's hard to stay on top of it. And it doesn't really focus on the key things, which are, you know, what's at the core of these proposals, which is cutting trillions, literally, of dollars out of healthcare that we all depend on and that we paid for and that we love. And so people need to understand what's underneath all of this so that they can make sense of what gets talked about. But more important, we have been able to stop some of the worst proposals from moving forward, some the Republicans are doing to themselves, but some because people have finally, like, said enough, you know, of fooling around with the things that we depend on, and we need more people to be doing that because next year is a big election year, and all these members of Congress have to, you know, are going to be up for election again. And Social Security and Medicare are really popular success stories for our country. And we need to let our elected officials know how we feel about them. And that's why people need to come to this on July 29th at 2 to arm themselves with the real facts, not the alternative facts, so that they can be effective in having conversations, not just with their own elected officials, but with their family and friends who live in California and all over the country who are part of the conversation or should be.
Can you give, at this time, I'd like you to give your website and how they can get a hold of you.
The CARA website is www.californiaalliance.org, and that's all spelled out, californiaalliance.org. Or they can call our office, which is based in Oakland, at 510-663-4089.
You want to give your information, Maddie, how they can get a hold of you?
Yeah, we're just part of the AFL-CIO, so we don't have our own website. We're a chapter there. But you can reach us at 707-545-6970. That's one of the numbers also to RSVP for what we're doing on the 29th. And we'd love to have you there. This is more important than I can even say.
Well, let me just remind people, that's going to be July 29th at the Plumbers Hall at 3473 Santa Rosa Avenue. It's going to be starting at 2 o'clock, and it's going to be a town hall, and they're going to answer all kinds of questions, and there'll be a chance for people to have public comment. And I know these town halls are really absolutely wonderful. Any last thoughts, Jody, real quickly?
No, I really appreciate you having us here today, and I hope people will get involved and get informed and let your families, friends, and neighbors know what's going on so that we can take back our country.
Well, thank you so much. A special thank you to Jody Reed, Executive Director for the Northern California Alliance for Retired Americans, and for Maddie Hirschfield, who is the Political Director at the North Bay Labor Council, for shedding some light on a very, very important topic. Reminder, they are facilitating a town hall celebration call to action on Saturday, July 29th in Santa Rosa, California at the Plumbers Hall at 3473 Santa Rosa. Along with answering questions, we're going to celebrate, we're going to have birthday cake, we're going to celebrate 82 years of Social Security and 52 years of Medicare and Medicaid. Anyway, welcome. You have been listening to Women's Spaces. I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I want to thank you so much for listening. And a reminder, tell your friends that Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. tonight. Oh, I get to listen to my own show. I am so excited about that. And remember, our children are the future, and we must never lose sight of that. This is Elaine B. Holtz. You've been listening to Women's Spaces. Thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.